You're listening to the Scottish Football Forums podcast, the home of Scottish football banter.
I think so. You know, these are games that they're always tight, and I think it's the team that manages to come out more often than not. But you can see, like, your games against Partick that can come into play as well. You know, Celtic drop points at Hearts. That these other teams are not just there to make up the numbers. They have a say on this, who's going to win the league. And I say to my players week in, week out, you know, we can't just live for the Celtic and the City games. We've got to make sure that we're doing it week in, week out. And we have done. We've been absolutely excellent at that. You know, and we just come up against a tough Partick team last week that managed to set out a good game plan, and on a different day, you know, we could have won that game, but to still come away and sit at this point 4 points clear, I'm definitely more than happy.
Yeah, I've also came in as a young player not expecting as much minutes, but through injuries I've got the chance and I've been really happy with how I've been playing, so I hope to carry that on until the end of the season.
For me it's a shame, because obviously we love our fans, but it's also because we want women's football to grow in Scotland. So I think we take a step back when we don't go that direction. But obviously I think that's also a thing to talk about, how good we performed when it was only Rangers fans. But then we had our small groups that we were very happy. And I said it to the girls as well, like, even if we always play for Celtic and our team and the fans, I want that extra effort for the fans. Because that's something that we wished that they were there, because I know that they will have given us more energy and more support.
A very good evening and welcome to the SFF podcast. You just heard from Joe Porter and Mia McCauley there after the Rangers won the Celtic one game on Sunday there. But we've got an action-packed lineup this evening on the SFF podcast. We've got Claire Gemmell, first and foremost. Claire, how are you this Tuesday evening?
I'm really good, thanks very much for having me on. Looking forward to the podcast.
No problem. As I said, action-packed. So we're joined by ex-Dundee United manager Graeme Hart. Graeme, hope all's well this Tuesday. Been a good few weeks, you were saying, out of work, but you're desperate to get back in soon, but not very soon.
Yeah, it's been a good few weeks, a bit less on the stress level, so it's been nice just to relax and enjoy, and we'll just see what's around the corner.
Absolutely. Making his women's debut tonight, he's been on the men's podcast, but making his women's debut, pardon me, it's Charlie Banks.
How's it going, mate? Good to be here.
Fantastic. Back as ever, Eva Murray.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me back. I'm looking forward to a good discussion tonight.
And last but by no means least, we've got a debutant this evening. She's from the Celtic Star. It's Jessica Elliott. Jessica, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. So, Claire, I'm going to start with yourself. Rangers won, Celtic won on Sunday. A good game overall. I think the game, as I said to you off air, I think the game needed a goal to spring the game into life. And once that goal went in, it was blood and thunder after that.
Yeah, I think it was, and I think you're right. It probably did need a goal, but I think that's the thing with these games all the time. They are quite sketchy. Nobody really wants to lose the first goal, do they? But I think certainly on Sunday, you know, Rangers early on did have opportunities to go ahead. You know, pressing Celtic really high and really looked on top, to be honest. And then, as it kind of turns out, Celtic managed to get the first goal. And, you know, and I think Rangers showed character to come back from that. Young Mia coming on, obviously, and scoring to equalise. And both teams had chances to win the game. So, I mean, really, from me looking on, I actually think probably a draw was a fair result in the end. I don't think any team, you know, they both had ups and they both had downs in the game. So, yeah, I think 1-1 was probably fair in the end.
Stay with yourself, Claire. Mia McCauley, very good player. I think I felt it more than anybody else on Sunday when Kirsty McLean wasn't playing, because Joe Porter actually touched on it after the game to the newspaper press and the non-rights press about how pivotal Kirsty McLean is to the Rangers team. Me and McCauley didn't start, but once she came off the bench, you could tell she had that part in which she hit the part for the goal. It was obviously she had a lot of space for the goal, but she was such a big player when she came on for Rangers on Sunday.
Yeah, she was, and it's some first touch, isn't it, to score a goal, and it was a great finish. But, you know, she's a great young player, and she's come up through the academy, and she showed her class coming up through the academy as well, and I'm not surprised to see that she's got a chance. And, you know, she got that at the start of the season, and she just seems to be growing and growing as a player under Joe Potter. Come on and scored that goal, as I said, to equalise them. Don't get me wrong. Again, I think Rachel Rowe had a pivotal part in that. You know, her touch is unbelievable. The touch she has to bring out there and actually set Mia up. You know what I mean? Mia just has to walk onto it and basically get it out the road of the goalkeeper. But, you know, I think in terms of Kirsty McLean, yeah, I do think they miss her. I think you can tell that, you know, it's maybe not flown the same way for Rangers, particularly from midfield, and maybe creating chances that they would have ordinarily created or controlled when she's not there. But I don't think it's only her. I think they're also missing Rachel McLaughlin in the back line. I think she gives them something going forward that none of the other back three can give. So I think they've just got a couple of key players missing Rangers, which I think has been telling over the last few performances, in my opinion.
Yeah. Graham, from the outside looking in, having been the manager in SWPL1, is the midfield area the strongest part of the Rangers team, or are they stronger than other areas in the park as well?
I think when you look at the squads, I think Rangers have probably got the most depth. I mean, obviously, Claire's just touching a couple. They're missing even like Kirsty Howitt, who scores goals for fun, and they've been able to bring in Jane Ross, Rio Hardys, Rachel Rose, Sarah Ewens. Like, I think depth-wise, Rangers have got ready-made replacements. So, yeah, I mean, Kirsty's obviously a big loss, and Rachel as well, but I just think right across the board, Rangers have got so much depth within their squad. But I think if you look at a Glasgow City and a Celtic, I think 1-11, they're on par. But I think if Celtic or if City get injuries to key players, they could struggle a wee bit more. Not to say they can't compete. Certainly, they've got proven track records. But I think just the depth of Rangers and how much they're able to bring on, even their youngsters, you look at Jody McCleary's, Mia McCauley's coming on to make a difference. So I think it's more the depth of Rangers that probably is giving them the wee bit of an edge at the moment, missing key players, and they're still able in big games to go and produce big moments. So I think if they can get some key players back, I think they'll be in a good place. But with them missing, I think City and Celtic will feel a wee bit of an opportunity, and they've probably realised that in the last couple of weeks and closed the gap slightly. Rangers are obviously in the ascendancy with the gap that they've got at the moment, but there's certainly an opportunity there for City and Celtic if they can keep everyone fit going into the split.
Yeah, absolutely. Eva, you see one of the injury list casualties on Sunday, Kirsty Howitt, and did you get an idea when they're maybe going to be back? Did you get an idea how the process is going for all the players?
Yeah, no, I spoke to Kirsty at Ibrox on Sunday, and actually that was the thing I asked her. I said, oh, how's your injury going? And she said that she's hopeful she'll be back in the next couple of weeks. But I think, as Graham said there, Kirsty Howitt is another one who is crucial. And I think we saw, especially in the first half of the season, where her and Rio Hardy really did team up and became almost like dream duo. And I think even with Kirsty not being there, we've seen Rio's kind of goals dry up a little bit. But As Graham said, Rangers, you know, we've got a great start in 11, but knowing that we can bring people like Sarah Ewens and Mia McCauley off the bench just to make that difference, and knowing if they can go on and score goals or set up chances has been solid, and it's great having Jane Ross back too. But I've always been a big advocate for Kirsty Howitt. I think she's great. She had a great 2023 up until that injury, and I think she'll be. I'm really looking forward to seeing her back on the pitch along with, you know, Kirsty McLean and Rachel McLaughlin too.
I'm going to stay with yourself, Eva. Alina Sadiku said after the game that she felt Celtic should have won the game. Do you go with that, or do you think a draw was a fair result?
I think a draw was a fair result. I think that I think Rangers dominated the first half. Obviously, there was a slip up at just after half time. I felt the game got a bit scrappy after that, and then Rangers obviously got that fight back. Mia came on as a super sub and got the goal. I think both teams had a number of chances to take the win, and they obviously didn't come off. So I think a draw was a fair result, to be fair.
Yeah. Charlie, Joe Potter made a point after the game about how the Rangers shouldn't be focusing on games against City and Celtic and how they should be focusing on other games. And I think the perfect result last weekend for Rangers was the perfect insight into that, that look, you can't take your eye off the ball regardless of who you're playing.
You need to focus on the other 11 teams in the league, really. You can't just focus on the other two. I think if any of the top three only focus on the other two, they'll eventually slip up. As we've seen a couple of times this season, City have dropped points, Celtic have dropped points, and so have Rangers. So, it's important that they all keep their focus, but especially for Rangers, as they are looking like the best team in the country at the moment, to keep the focus on every game.
Yep, absolutely. Jessica, you were beside me. Good atmosphere overall, but I'm going to start on the Celtic walkout, and I'll just open the floor to yourself. What was your thoughts on the whole situation?
You see, I understand both sides. I mean, obviously, while I do understand both sides, I'm a big advocate for, you know, allowing away fans into the ground. I mean, it's even something in the men's game. I don't think that fans should be locked out. I can understand the reasons behind Rangers' decision to retract the tickets, but I think that you're really toeing the line if you're naming a bunch of fans as risk supporters. When we don't know the evidence that the clubs are using to brand supporters that way, then how do we know that other regular fans are on this blacklist without their knowledge?
Absolutely. What was your thoughts on the game? We were also chatting. Natasha Flint scores a very good first goal, but she missed a great chance. Was it 1-0 Silk? She missed a great chance.
Yep. Yeah. Right after the first one.
Yeah, what was your thoughts on the game and overall?
See, I did have it in my notes that I think Celtic should have edged it on the day, but to be honest, I think that 1-1-0 was a fairer result. Celtic did miss quite a few chances, especially close to the end. And, you know, if we're being honest, Rangers did dominate the first half and on an attacking front. But, you know, like I've been saying, I think that this match was crucial in the title race, and that, you know, a loss here would have basically counted us out, in my opinion. So I'm happy with the point either way, and I think that 1-0 was a fair result on the day.
As Alina touched upon on Sunday, is the title race still on for Celtic?
I think the title race is still very much on. Like I said, even just a point, it keeps that gap at 4 points, and I think that will allow us to close. I mean, like Elena said in our post-match press conference, we've still got to play Rangers twice, so just need to play our cards right and keep the performance levels up.
Absolutely. Yeah, the whole walkout, Claire, it's a poor look for the women's game when we're walking out fans. I know Rangers had the right to go and do what they had to do, but it's not a good look. And Joe Potter understandably refrained from really wanting to come out and be honest because of obviously the club that she's affiliated to.
Well, that's it. And I think it's difficult, and you can obviously have opinions on it or whatever, but the bottom line is we don't know all the information. So it's hard to then, you know, really give a proper opinion on it if you don't have the full information. And as frustrating as it is, and obviously if it had happened the other way about, I'm sure the frustrations would have been with Rangers fans. Ultimately, everybody wants fans to be at a game. That's what makes a game, isn't it? It's the atmosphere, folk coming to see it. And I'm sure the players all wanted that as well, but they've obviously made a decision in terms of they thought it's the right one, whether it's to do with safety and everything else. So, and I think that's the most important thing too. If they don't feel as if that they can control whatever information they had at the time, then they've made the decision based on that. And I think you just need to trust that they've made the decisions for the right reasons.
Absolutely. Eva, speaking from a fan perspective here, what's kind of your experiences of a Celtic Rangers women's game?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd be into the last two women's Old Firm matches at the Excelsior, and as far as I'm aware, there was, you know, not been any issues, although, you know, segregation's been in place at both times. I've been in that, something that wasn't planned for the game on Sunday. But I think, as others have said, you know, we don't know the full details. And ultimately, I think for me, as someone who wants to see the women's game grow, who wants it to remain a welcoming, safe and accessible place for all, I really just feel for those families with young girls who weren't able to watch their team. But I think, again, as others have said, we don't know the full details. We don't know the scale of it. And there's obviously a wider conversation to be had there. And I think the SWPL have kind of committed to speak to both sides and try and get those full details out of it so it doesn't happen again. Because I don't think any of us want that to be the case, because it's a good atmosphere. But like I say, the last two I've been to, there was segregation in place.
Absolutely. Charlie, how important is it that we're not tarnishing the women's game with the same brush that we are in the men's game? Because this is obviously a dominating talking point in the men's game. It's important that this doesn't transcend into the women's game as well.
Yeah, for sure. As Eva mentioned, it's important that young families can take, you know, their daughters, their sons through these kind of games, especially when in the men's game, you know, Celtic fans aren't allowed at Ibrox, vice versa, at Parkhead. So I know, speaking from experience of being at Hibs Hearts women's games, you know, they are segregated. You know, when we were at Tynecastle earlier this season, we had our own stand, Hearts had their own stands, and there's never any issues. But it was just a shame on Saturday morning to wake up and see the news that Celtic's tickets had been cancelled. I was happy to see some Celtic fans had got to the game, but I think it definitely detracted from the overall spectacle.
Yeah, we've seen 60,000 that went to believe it there, but it's on Saturday. The fact that I know Caitlin Hayes has come out and said it as well, but the fact that we've had 60,000 Arsenal's ground to 4,000 at Ibrox and potentially 5,000 to 7,000, it paints that picture that we maybe need to do more still in the women's game here in Scotland.
Yeah, we definitely do, but I think. It's grown so fast. Like, these things can happen when the game's going so fast. That game being at Broadwood, I don't think they're used to hosting Old Firm games at Broadwood in the women's game. So, but it's the first time there was an Old Firm game meant to be held at Ibrox. So they probably, internally, there was probably slight mistakes made from each side, and we won't know the full story behind it of what's actually went on. But they've obviously identified that there's a potential risk to whoever, and the biggest, most important thing is the women's game. It's so family friendly, and kids love it. You don't see it in the men's game as much, but so many kids come. There was no trouble. Yeah, it's not a nice look from an outsider looking in terms of having no away fans in there, but as long as both clubs come together and it's not an issue moving forward, like it is in the men's game, I think it's really important that the clubs, and not just from a Rangers Celtic point of view, but just clubs in general, work together so that we don't have any of these issues. And the safety of people is the most important thing. And I think if they get that right moving forward, then I think this is just a learning curve for everyone. And when the game grows so fast in such a short space of time, you're going to have hiccups and mistakes along the way. And the most important thing is everyone understands that, but also moves forward and helps grow it as well. And it doesn't become a tit for tat or a point scoring situation where it's, oh, they did this or they did that. It's just, let's get together and make sure it doesn't happen again and we can move forward.
Because as you alluded to there, Graham, it's a family friendly event. I remember when you first played at Paradise. Well, done it and played at Paradise before, but I remember your first game at Paradise. It was against St Johnstone, and there was a lot of family friendly people there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it just happens right across the board. And I think that's part of the growth. And I think over the next sort of 5 years, you'll see even more, because you see so many young girls now participating in football. So many young girls now going to watch football. And we're probably maybe 5 years behind where England are at in terms of the growth of the game. They caught the growth of the game probably before we did. Our growth started probably in 2019 massively, in terms of growing so quickly. But yeah, so I think it's just important it continues, and you get young kids along, and as I say, they've obviously felt that there's a potential threat or potential safety issue there, so they don't want anyone in danger. So from an outsider looking in, it's probably the right call. We don't know all the ins and outs, but the most important thing is everyone's safety, and no one was hurt or injured, which is important.
Absolutely. Looking back on Sunday's games, we've obviously done our Ibrox review. Jessica, I'm going to come to yourself. Motherwell 0, Glasgow City 3. A big 3 points for Glasgow City. We are rosters on Sunday.
Definitely. I mean, I think a lot of people counted Glasgow City out of the title race far too quickly. I mean, I personally have thought that they always had a chance, you know, especially with the games to come after the split. But yeah, no, I definitely think that they will end up being important but come the end of the season, even if they might not win the title, but, you know, definitely in the run for second place either way.
Yeah, I think it's important not to discount Glasgow City out either, Jessica, because you see it last year, how they were not 8 points behind at one stage and still went on and won the league.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, with the split, anything can really happen in Scottish football. So I do think that people are definitely counting them out too quickly. I mean, you look at some of the players that they have too, they're definitely capable of doing a job. So I suppose we'll just have to see what happens.
Absolutely. Okay, Hamilton 1, Spartans 1. Claire, I'm going to come to yourself. Where do you think the improvement from Hamilton's coming from? Because they have picked up results in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's just taken a bit of time for them, hasn't it? They had a bit of a hard start to the season. You know, they were just leaking goals right, left and centre, to be honest. So it's obviously just work on the training ground, I think, now coming together. Really, you know, if that's happening in games, that's the only place you can fix it. Yeah, you need to go with the right mentality in games and stuff. And, you know, I know some of the players that play for that team, so I know that they're not going out there to be beaten or whatever, or they weren't going out there to be beaten. You get a new coach in, and then obviously you're working with a limited squad. So I think just now, yeah, I just think it's maybe starting to just click for them a wee bit, and they're getting a little bit of confidence going forward, and they're starting to pick up some results.
Claire, stay with yourself. It's two teams that have really reignited their seasons. Spartans still have a lot to play for in terms of the Scottish Cup. And Jack Beasley, he got a big result against Aberdeen a couple weeks ago. And as much as Sunday will be a bit disappointing, Spartans really have picked up in the last wee while.
I know, and again, it's difficult for them as well, isn't it? Obviously, losing Debbie McCulloch kind of midway through a season, and then you're bringing in a new manager, and then he's trying to embed in his way of playing with the players and get to know the players and what they can do. And so, I mean, I think he's done well, you know, since he's come in. As you said, he's picked up a couple of good results. So it's going to take him time. And obviously, this season, I can't imagine it will be free-flowing. Even by the end of the season, you'll probably not see exactly what he's wanting from his players until probably next season. Do you know what I mean? It just does need a bedding in period, and hopefully, you know, you can get the results along the way, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way. And I think, and hopefully, you know, both teams have turned a corner.
Absolutely. Right, Hearts 5, Montrose 0. Graham, I was reading something on Twitter for Lisa McFarlane saying Hearts didn't play to their standards but still won 5-0, and that probably just shows you the quality that either all inside have when they're not their best but still winning 5-0.
Yeah, and I think having seen the game back a bit, and I actually think the sending off at 1-0 probably changes the game, and by all accounts I think Montrose are right in the game, and the bring them back level, and I think Hearts would be a bit nervy because obviously they dropped points against Montrose early on the season. So I don't necessarily think Hearts were at the best, but I think you've got to give Montrose credit as well. Montrose make it difficult, and they've obviously picked up points against Hearts early in the season, so they've obviously kind of came with a game plan. And then obviously when you go down to 10, it then becomes really, really challenging, and I think it becomes a lot more comfortable for Hearts, and the quality comes through in the end. But Yeah, obviously Montrose made it difficult for us. It's a pretty even game, and that's what the good teams need to do. And Hearts, when they're not playing well, they find a way of winning, and they're slowly getting back up. And they looked like they had dropped a wee bit out of it, but again, the way the fixtures have fallen, they had a lot of the harder games early on, so it's kind of now coming round and sort of balancing out. And I think you notice the sort of 3-wee mini leagues that have kind of developed, and probably similar to the top where Rangers, Celtic and City are needing to make sure they don't drop any stupid points. The same with Hearts, Hibs and Partick, if they're going to finish fourth, is making sure they didn't drop any more points before the split. And I think the Hearts winning that game against Montrose on Sunday will certainly go a long way to doing that.
Yeah. Charlie, do you think there is a 3-team relegation fight with Dundee, Montrose and Hamilton?
The way it's looking just now, you'd really like to see anyone go down, but I think it's between those three for the drop. I think, though, that Hamilton and Spartans have picked up points recently that perhaps earlier in the season they probably wouldn't, so I think it's going to make an exciting split in the bottom six as well as the top six.
Absolutely. Aberdeen 4, Dundee United 3. Even this was some game. I was watching a wee bit in the Ibrox press room, and Dundee United really got themselves going 2-0 up. And then, correct me if I'm wrong here, I think Aberdeen pulled one back through Bill Hutchison, and then obviously a parade of goals after that. But what a game at the Bob Warner Stadium.
Yeah, I think especially the recent results for Dundee United, the double header against the Rangers in the cup and in the league, heads could have went down, but obviously they're still there fighting. And Aberdeen, I think we're lucky to get that win. And you mentioned Bailey Hutchison there, obviously making our way up the top scorer list for the league as well. But yeah, I think it shows that heads went down after the two kind of heavy defeats from Rangers recently.
Yeah, Morgan Stevens scored 2 goals, and I watched Morgan Stevens for St Johnstone, and she was quite a good player. And I know the guy that signed her is on this podcast, in fact. But Morgan Stevens, a very good striker, and took her 2 goals very well.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. Like I say, it just shows that their heads aren't going down, and even though there is a fight for that relegation, kind of that relegation battle, I wouldn't count Dundee United out. I think they might have got the momentum now to kind of remain up.
I just want to ask you this question more than when you were at the club type of basis. Did you exceed the expectations to a certain extent? Because I remember looking at the start of the season and saying you lost a lot of players. And the players you brought in were either young players, or they were players that didn't get a lot of game time elsewhere, or players that came in through the youth academy. Did you weren't under pressure, but did you have a point to prove at the start of the season?
Nah, not really. I mean, ultimately, a lot of the players left because they were getting better money elsewhere, and that's football. We lost, obviously, our top scorer from last season, went full-time to Hearts, and then we lost a few players to Montrose who were offering more money and all that sort of thing. So we had to go down a different route. And I think with Dundee United, the biggest issue that we had when I was there, and even sort of now things are settling down, is consistency in terms of the goalie situation. There's 7 different goalies throughout the course the first half of the season. And even then, when we managed to convince Fiona to come back and play, she wasn't training. So you literally were going into games with a goalie that hadn't been training, because she was doing us a favour, because the goalie situation had happened outside the transfer window. So to get a free agent goalie in this country is difficult, that's capable of playing at that level. So I think you will see a different Dundee United in terms of, I think Sunday's a start, in terms of they've got that consistency level. We obviously identified we needed a striker, and that's why we brought Morgan into the club, and even signing Ailey Davis to have a powerful central midfield player in there as well. So now things have settled down. They've kind of got a bit of a structure to them in terms of the consistency levels with the players. I think you'll see more consistent performances and results, whereas I think the first half of the season, it was frustrating for me being there, but also the players, because 1 week we could be like we'd drawn 0-0 with Hibs and we're brilliant. We beat Hamilton 5-2 or 5-3, sorry, but it was 5-1 for ages. And then we go and put in terrible performances against other teams. So it was so Jekyll and Hyde. But I think Dundee United is a team that they've got good players in there. And I know they're bedding 5+ teenagers every week, but they're top players. Like they're Scotland under-19 players as well. So there is a real good group there. And now they've got Lisa Morgan in there. She'll score goals for them as well. And you've still got your Rachel Todds and Robin Smith and stuff that can chip in with goals as well. So I think it'll be an interesting run-in. But I don't think we were necessarily, for me, I didn't feel that the group was punching above their weights when I left. We were sitting in ninth. I felt the group was good enough to be there. But when you look at what other teams round about, I mean, every team above ninth has a full-time manager. So again, that's difficult for me as a coach to go and compete with that. And then obviously other teams round about are offering players more money and it become Montrose and Spartans offering semi-professional contracts. So it was challenging, but again, it's a challenge that I found hard but embraced.
I'll be right there, sorry. I remember that 0-0 draw, Hartley, and saying, that's a big result for Dundee United, absolutely. But I remember the 2-1 win at Spartans on the Wednesday night, looking at that. I think Classic Cooper scores the late winner. And I remember looking at that and going, that's a big result for you.
Yeah, and we had a couple of them. And the biggest thing for us is we lost 2 games to Montrose and we lost to Hamilton as well, just after Christmas. And I think had the results went differently, and it's easy to say that in football, but like the Montrose game before Christmas, they got a goal in the 94th minute that wasn't over the line. If that doesn't go in, that's a 3-point swing. The Hamilton game after Christmas, we couldn't train the week before, the week before, because Gussie was unplayable. So again, these wee things have a massive effect on players. So and Hamilton deserved to beat us that day thoroughly. But again, there's no easy games in this league, and they're all difficult. And with a young group, you're going to have to accept that you're going to. So it wouldn't surprise me if Dundee United go and beat somebody 5-0, and then the following week you beat 5-0. That's just the, if the players are on it, they'll win. They will win, but they just need to find that consistency. And there'd be no surprise to me if they go and put 3 or 4 really good results together. But also, on the other hand, they could go the other way. So it's so Jekyll and Hyde with them. But I think they've got enough players in there and enough capabilities to get themselves out of there.
I'm going to stick with yourself here. Are you impressed with the job Brian Graham's done at Partick Thistle? Are you surprised, or did you know Brian Graham was going to be a natural progression in terms of his management career at the Jags?
It's more impressive the fact that not just he got top six, because I think they probably have got about the sixth highest budget. So I don't think that's so much of a surprise. But it's the fact that they're regularly competing with the full-time teams and how well they're actually doing. And like last season, they sneaked, don't want to say sneaked into the top six because they deserve to be in the top six, but I remember they beat us at Gussie to get into that top six. But I think they felt probably they were making up the numbers. But this year, they've more than merited it. And Brian's been a few tussles at the side of the pitch, but that's the way he is. And once the game's done, he's the nicest guy in the world. Do you know what I mean? But he's a winner. So it doesn't surprise me one little bit that the way he coaches and the way he gets his team fired up for games, that they're over-exceeding and they're performing. And the way they've kind of kicked on this season. And I think the biggest surprise is actually they're going and they don't look out of place amongst the full-time teams.
Yeah. Charlie, that heart has led us on superbly there. Charlie, one each draw. I know you weren't at the game, but you watched it on online. What was your thoughts on the game?
Thought first half has probably edged it slightly. We got the goal, but obviously our own goal. So we've still not scored against Partick from one of our team, which is a bit surprising, because all the games that we've played against them, except the cup game, have been, you know, we've had enough chances to score. So a bit disappointing we've not scored yet from our own team. But the second half of the game sprung into life. Partick got a real foothold in the game and probably deserved the draw. I think if either team had won, it would probably be a disservice to the game. But it was a really good game to watch. Was obviously hoping to be there, but couldn't make it. But it was a really good game, and I would say a good game for the neutral to catch as well.
Do you think the SWPL1's been renowned for, especially the last few years, for having maybe the Glasgow teams in the top three and the Edinburgh teams in behind. It's probably important to acknowledge that Partick Thistle are probably in that race for fourth, fifth and sixth. There's always been a three-tier type of table, the Estimate PL1, and Partick Thistle's probably got themselves in that top six bracket now when you think about it.
Of course, they're there on merit. They've not snuck in this year. They're playing some really good football. Brian Graham's got them playing exceptional. They really have taken it up a level this year, and be interesting to see where they finish, because they could very easily finish fourth.
Eva, I'm going to come to you being the Rangers fan. Was there this type of moment when Carla Henderson scored last Sunday but it got chopped off?
Yeah, and I mean, we can debate about whether it was a foul or not. Actually, it happened by chance. Something I was doing, some other project I'm kind of involved in. I actually had to speak to Brian Graham on the Monday after it, and he was kind of talking about that and saying it was absolutely a goal. But no, I'm very relieved as a Rangers fan that obviously it wasn't counted. But a huge result for Partick regardless. I mean, getting a 0-0 draw with Rangers is huge for them, and I think they would be very upbeat going into the weekend's game there. They would probably wanted a 3 points out of that against Hibs, because it is, as it's been said already, it's incredibly tight between the fourth, fifth and sixth, and a win one way or the other could really make the difference. And it's exciting. I mean, I know we're going to go on and talk about the kind of 1, 2 and 3, but it's exciting for the 4, 5 and 6 as well. And I think, as you mentioned just there, Partick Thistle have absolutely solidified themselves in that top six. I've said it before in this podcast, I think they're a real success story for Scottish football, the way they've climbed up the ranks so quickly, and the work that Brian Graham's done is incredible. So no, it's exciting.
Jessica, sorry. Do you think Natasha Flint could be one of the signings in the January market, in terms of her, not the factions of number 9 as such, but the factions of number 10 and the factions scoring a lot of goals for Celtic just now under Alina?
I think she's going to be key for the rest of the season. I think that if we didn't get her in the January window, then we really would have struggled going forward, because that was exactly the type of player we needed. And I think we saw at Ibrox just how good she can be. And I mean, we saw that last season too. I mean, I'm sure we all know how much she kicked on in Scotland. So we just need to hope that she can do that again. And hopefully we can get her on a permanent deal this time, because I think, you know, I think everyone would like it if she stayed in Scotland. Maybe not Rangers fans, but certainly I would.
What needs to be the difference, do you feel, Jessica, sorry, behind going that extra yard this year? Fran Wardle was so, so close last year. It was a pity he didn't stay, just to maybe try and get over that line. What could we either do that Fran didn't do?
I think it is just going to come down to these games between us and Rangers, and also us in Glasgow City, I suppose, because we don't want them catching up while we're deep in the title race. I think the performances, obviously there was a little blip when Alina came in, but I think the performances have been up to a good standard all season. So, you know, as long as we can keep that up, it will just come down to the Rangers games, and we just need to definitely get 6 points in the two games we play after the split if we want to have any chance of winning the title. I mean, that's a given anyway, considering we're 4 points behind. And I personally don't see Rangers dropping any points apart from possibly two of us.
This might sound I'll stay with yourself, Jessica. This might sound a ridiculous point to make, but are you concerned by the amount of goals that aren't scored by defenders, for example? Like, there's a lot of goals get scored in the forward areas, and that's great, because we all love to see strikers scoring. But seeing past seasons, Chloe Craig's been scoring a lot. Kelly Clark's been scoring a few. Caitlin Hayes has been scoring a few. There doesn't seem to be that much of an influence in set pieces recently from Celtic.
It's difficult. Because, you know, I mean, we saw Caitlin Hayes try her classic header goal on a few occasions at Ibrox. I don't really know what's going wrong at the minute. I know that Elena said in our pre-match press conference that they've been kind of experimenting in training, letting different players take corners and such. So it could just be a case of that. But, you know, it doesn't really concern me at the minute. As long as we are still scoring goals, then I don't really see any cause for concern there.
Okay, I'll stay with yourself just before you go on mute. Jenny Smith and the Scotland squad, great to see.
Yes, amazing. I think it's very deserved. And, you know, she's a young player, and I think the chance to represent Scotland at this level in a cup is going to be, it's going to be motivational to any player, but especially those young players. And, you know, hopefully she can really kick on now at club level. She's played, I think, 21 times this season for Celtic. So, you know, I mean, I'm a fan of seeing her in the squad, so I hope that she can just do well for Scotland too.
Eva, what's your thoughts on the Scotland squad for the Pinatar Cup coming up?
Yeah, obviously we've got some notable absentees just still out from with injury. People like, you know, long-term Caroline Weir and Emma Watson, and we obviously talked about Rachel McLaughlin. I thought it was interesting that Amy Gallagher is not in it this time, but it's also good to see Leah Eddy back in, and Hayley Lauder get that call up again after she came back for the final two matches of the Nations League, and delighted to see Jane Ross back in the squad as well. I think that's a huge moment, and yeah, I'm really, really excited. But you were talking about Jenny Smith there. She was great, and I think she got her first kind of 10 minute, the last 10 minutes of the Netherlands match at Hampden. I think she's been solid for Celtic, so no, it's exciting to see some younger players coming up. And again, we talked about the Scotland squad before, and just seen, I really do hope that Pedro, you know, trying something different, maybe getting some of these younger players in and trying something different. Well, he can. Obviously, part of it's because he has to, because we don't have some of our key players in, but it could make the difference and give these women a chance. So it's exciting as well. I think it's good.
Yeah. The squad's as follows: Jenna Fife, Lee Gibson, Sandy McKeever, Jenna Clark, Rachel Corsi, Nicola Docherty, Leah Eddy, Sophie Howard, Fiona Brown, Chelsea Corrett, Erica Cuthbert, Lisa Evans, Christy Grimm, no, pardon me, Jenny Smith, pardon me, Sam Kerr, Hayley Lauder, Jimmy Lee Napier, Amy Rogers, Laura Davidson, Claire Emsley, Kirsty Hansen, Brogan Hay, Jane Ross, and Martha Thomas. Claire, when you look at that squad, as Eva touched upon a couple of absentees, but good for some young players to get a chance and stake their claim in Pedro's team moving forward.
Well, definitely, and just to kind of second what Eva says, you know, I think there is obviously some noticeable absentees there, but I think it's important that you give folk the platform to try and go and see what they can do. I think years gone by, certainly, you know, it wasn't done enough, to be honest. It was, this is the squad and this is the squad we're sticking with, and that's it. Whereas I think Pedro's, he's a lot more open, I think, to giving folk a go, which, you know, it might not work out, but unless you give young players a platform to go on and showcase what they can do, how do you ever know if they're good enough? So I think it's important. I think they've got a decent enough balance of kind of experience and youth in there, because I think it's important that you do have that balance and you're not just throwing too many youngsters into that environment. You know, I think you still need to guide them the right way and they're not getting kind of too much too soon.
By the way, I'm going to stay with yourself, Claire. Did you know that Sophie Howard's German? I listened to the BBC interview today. I didn't listen to all of it, but I didn't know Sophie Howard was German.
No, I didn't know, yeah. Did you not know, no?
I thought she was just Scottish, that was all.
No, I didn't know, yeah.
Graham, what's your thoughts on the squad? What can Scotland do against the Philippines and the potential winners of Slovenia and Finland? Do you think Scotland can go and do well in the Pinatar Cup again?
Yeah, I think just obviously what Claire just said, I think it's important that they've obviously started under-23s like in the last season, the last year. So I think like Lee Eddy and stuff, getting an opportunity is really important because these players are doing well in SWPL, and it's sometimes difficult for these players to go and challenge at a higher level when they're playing up here and challenge themselves against international players. Where down south, you've obviously got like Jenna Clark and stuff who've moved down and they're now regular competing against international players like week in, week out. So it becomes really challenging sometimes for the younger players to get an opportunity. So I think Pedro giving them that opportunity is great. And I think with the group in the Pinatar, I think it's an opportunity to go and give them an opportunity. But also they need to start getting into the habit of winning games. And I think that's important, whether it's friendlies, competitive games, Nations League, Pinatar Cup. We need to, as a nation, get into habits. And I think you see that on the men's side with Steve Clarke, where they've now created a winning environment and they're now regularly qualifying. Can we go and do that, but also keep blending in the youngsters? And I think bringing in likes of Jane Ross, and Hayley Lauder, that they'll bring that winning mentality along with the sort of younger players. So I think it's a good blend and it's a good mix. and hopefully we can go and I'm pretty confident that we'll go and get a couple of good results.
Eva, when you look at the next couple of games, is the way we play, the style of play going to be important to you, or is it result orientated, or is it about the performance, do you reckon? Would you like to see a difference in performance or style of play, or are you happy with what it is currently?
I think obviously coming out of the Nations League, it was brutal, and I think we all knew it was going to be brutal with the kind of league we were in. I think this is just an opportunity. I think an opportunity to get a couple of wins under our belt, but also an opportunity for Pedro to try things out before the next kind of campaign almost. I think we've got a good chance against the Philippines. We beat them last year. We beat them in the last Pinatar Cup. But they've obviously got a couple of solid players as well. Angie Beard, who swapped allegiance from the Matildas to the Philippines, and Serena Bolden, who has obviously made the historic first goal at the Women's World Cup. And they'll be full of confidence because they actually, you know, made it to the World Cup last year. And also, we don't know if we'll get Slovenia or Finland, but we beat Finland last July. So there's an opportunity there. And again, I know that we've got a couple of players out injured, but it's an opportunity, as it's been said by others, to let those who've been absolutely solid at their club to have the opportunity to play at the national team. And I think there's an opportunity to get a couple of wins, like I say, but also for Pedro to try things out before the next big campaign.
Well, we've got the Euros this year, Eva, so it's a perfect opportunity to start the year with a trophy.
Oh yeah, 100%, absolutely, absolutely. And we've won it before, so we can do it again.
Absolutely. Claire, I just want to touch on Chelsea Cornet. Job made a very good point about Chelsea Cornet and their position on Sunday in the game against Celtic. Do you think her role in this Rangers team goes under the radar a little bit just because of how well Kirsty McLean's done, how well Mia McCauley's done, how impressive Olivia McLaughlin's been since she arrived on loan from Aston Villa?
Yeah, I do. And it's something I actually see about Chelsea quite a lot is I think that a role in that squad is underrated. And again, I'll just reiterate, sorry, what I say about her all the time is I think it's only when you then remove her from the team that you notice how big an impact she actually has in the squad. It's her work rate. Her work rate is unbelievable. You know, I've trained with her. She trains exactly the way she plays. You know, she gives 100% in everything she does. And I think she just basically allows the more creative players to go and do what they're good at, because she keeps her structure behind the ball, you know, and as I say, just allows the more creative players to go and do their thing. And as you all know, Rangers are a very attacking team. They commit a lot of players forward. So you have to have players who are fit, you know, in your structure behind the ball and know what their job is. And I think she certainly now has cemented her position in that squad, along with Kirsty McLean. I think, you know, when she's fit and they're both fit, I think they complement each other very well.
Absolutely. Charlie, you'll be pleased that Leigh Eddy's in the squad, like Graham touched upon there.
I'm delighted. I was hoping that Mickey McAloney would have got a shout as well. She's been exceptional this season for Hibs, probably our player of the year. So I was a bit disappointed she missed out, but I think getting the experience in the 23s will be good for her. But I'm delighted to see Leah back in the squad. She's progressing every year. And I'll be surprised if she's still at Hibs in the summer, because I think she's got a big move awaiting her very soon.
I just want to touch upon Hibs because it's the first time in a while that I've done the podcast because of personal reasons. Obviously, Siobhan Hunter and Charlie McGregor have had a wee bit of a predicament. It's probably pleasing that Hibs have been very supportive of what they've been going through at this tough time.
Aye, absolutely. It's never nice to hear a player's going through a personal situation, but Hibs have been great. I've spoke to some people at the club and they've really supported them both in their personal struggles. So it's nice to see them back playing, but it's also must be a worry for them that the inevitable worst could happen at any point. So aye, hopefully they can keep playing, but it's obviously still a worry for them.
Absolutely. We'll just obviously speak about the top end of the park and the bottom end of the park. Charlie, I'm going to start with yourself. If you're a betting man right now, there's no betting women's football, may I add, but if you're a betting man right now, who's going down and who's in the playoff?
I think Spartans will go down. I think Hamilton will be playoff.
Okay. Who do you think is going to win the Champions League? I'm not asking you to go say who's going to win the league. I'm just asking you to say who you think is going to win the Champions League.
Rangers and Celtic, in no particular order.
Okay. Claire, just the same as Charlie, please.
I think the bottom's a difficult one, to be honest. You know, it could go anyway, really, but, you know, if I'm going to have to give an answer...
Just put bottom two if you want. You don't have to put them in any particular order.
I'm probably going to go, I think, with Hamilton, and I think Montrose, actually.
Yeah, and Champions League. You don't need to say who's going to win the league, but just say Champions League.
I think Rangers and Celtic, and I think Rangers win the league.
I'm only saying Champions League here because I do not want any of you getting embarrassed coming out of the season.
It's just to give an opinion. If you're wrong, you're wrong.
I don't want the SFF podcast becoming a bit of a meme festival, that's all. Graham, what are you thinking?
I think the top end, I think actually Glasgow City will be certainly top two. I think they've done well, and I think Rangers will be in the top two as well. I wouldn't like to predict either way, to be honest, because I think if you write Glasgow City off, then it's probably going to come back and bite you at some point. So they'll be top two. Bottom of the league, I think it'll be Hamilton and I think probably Montrose, but again, it's tight down there and it could go anyway. So I think they'll probably be the bottom two as well.
Eva?
Without substance too much.
Yeah, I think it's difficult on both ends because I think we saw last year how quickly it changed and how much things like goal difference it came down to. But I'll say Rangers and Celtic, and I'll say Rangers will win the league. I'll be confident in that. And I think it'll be Hamilton and Montrose at the bottom.
Yeah, Jessica.
I'll start at the bottom first. I think Hamilton and Spartans, mainly because I like to back Montrose. I've been watching, keeping up with them all season, so that's just personal hope that they don't go down. And at the top two, I think it will be Celtic and Rangers. And let's just say that without giving my opinion on who will win the title, I do think that Rangers have the better team at the minute.
I'll give my opinion. I think Rangers and Celtic will be in the top two, and I'm going to go for, I think the bottom one's more tougher than the top. I'm not trying to write Glasgow City off by any stretch of imagination. I just don't think they'll have enough, what's the right word? I just don't think they'll have enough of a mentality within the group to win the league, although that can maybe change where you are. Ross, favourite order, Joe Love, of course, you can't rule out Joe Love. So I think Rangers is not going to top, and for the bottom end, I'm going to go for, I think Hamilton will be one, and I'm probably going to say Montrose for the other. For the middle, it's Claire, I'm going to come on to yourself again. Partick Thistle, Cup Final against Rangers coming up. We'll obviously do a more extensive preview next month, but Partick Thistle against Rangers, it's a fine change, isn't it? Because it's not like it's a Rangers City or Rangers Celtic or Rangers Hibs. Rangers Hibs is obviously great in itself, but it's Partick Thistle, and considering how they had to step up when Forfar Farmington went through their demise in terms of as a club or as a professional club, it's pleasing to see Partick and the strides that they've made.
No, it definitely is, and you know, I think they deserve to be there. I think they've done really well this season, and particularly when they're at home, you know, I think it's a really difficult place to go. It's a really tight pitch. I think that they use what they've got to their advantage. You know, I think I was obviously lucky enough to be doing the comms in the game against the Partick Thistle Rangers the other week, and I just think they were, you know, really impressive. I just felt as if they all understood what their job was. Rangers really struggled to break them down. Rangers were really poor. And I think in their cup run, you know, obviously beating Hibs, and they've managed to get themselves into a final. I think a final's a one-off game, so it's hard to say, but, you know, I think it'll be a very different game than the league game at Peter's Hill there. It's a very big pitch. It's going to suit Rangers much more than that pitch did. So I think they're going to have a task in their hand. I will say that, but it's, as I said, anything's possible, and they're having a good run, so you can't write them off.
Graham, I'm going to end with SWPL2. Queen's Park top of the league, SWPL2. and quite a sustainable point gap over Kilmarnock. It probably just shows you the quality that they have.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be that far ahead in that league's really impressive. And I think that's why they'll get over the line quite comfortably, because even if they start dropping points, everyone below them will drop points because it's that competitive a league. So everyone takes points off each other. So that's why it's so impressive that they're so far ahead. So, I think they'll go over the line pretty comfortably. And Kilmarnock, to be fair, have put a wee run of form together as well. So they're looking like they're going to potentially get that second place. But again, in that league, bottom could beat top. So it's pretty competitive. But I think the fact that Queen's Park have got so far in front, I think is really, really impressive from them.
Do you think Queen's Park would be a good addition to the top tier next season?
Yeah, the biggest challenge you'll have is keeping that squad together. And I think that's probably the challenge any team coming up from SWPL2 has, because the gulf big as it is, but if you start losing a couple of your key players, it becomes even bigger. So obviously just at Ellie Kane, for example, I think she scored 23 goals this season in SWPL2. If a team higher up come in for her and she decides to move on, how do you replace their goals? It's going to be really, really challenging. So if they keep everyone together, then I think they'll do really well and be a good addition. I think you've seen against Partick a couple of weeks ago where they gave them a good game. And it certainly didn't look like there was a massive gulf. But again, it's keeping your best players, because I know for a fact there'll be teams out there in SWPL1 that'll be sniffing about their best players come the end of the season.
Ellie K, was she ex-Partick?
She was at Hamilton and she was at Stirling for a bit as well. I'm not sure
Hamilton,
if she's
that's how I remember her. It's Hamilton, how I remember her, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it just tells you the job Craig Joyce has done. This is potentially second promotion at the second tier level. He achieved it with, was it Glasgow Women he achieved it with?
Yeah, so they were second the year we won the league at United.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Again, they had a really good squad back then as well, and a lot of the players were in that squad are in his Queen's Park team now. So he's done a really good job, and I just think the points tally in the league that they've created is really, really impressive, because in that league, it's so hard to win. You've not got the resources, or you're not the resource difference between top and bottom is pretty minimal in that league. There's not much between the teams in terms of financial aspects. Where the top league, there's obviously a lot bigger gulf, but in that league, there's not. So to get that far ahead is really, really impressive.
Yeah. Eva, are you surprised? Just looking at it in greater context with the first tier in terms of intros, are you surprised at how they've maybe not kicked on from their promotion?
I think it's a difficult league to come up to, and I think that, you know, I think we talked about Partick Thistle there. I think they're one of the only teams who've managed to kind of, you know, really take off and get into that top six so quickly. I think we've spoken before on this podcast about the gulf, you know, the difference in resources, the difference in time, and just how difficult it is for clubs to leave that you know SWPL2 to come up to the Premier League. And it's something we've discussed before, and I don't know how we tackle that, because until there's that, you know, until we create that equal kind of footing, we're always going to kind of see the league as we see it just now. But yes, I think it's worth a wider conversation about how we tackle that, because if we don't, then we're continually going to see teams, you know, going up and then very quickly, or within a couple of seasons, going back down. And as Graham said, I think it's something that Queen's Park are probably going to have to deal with next year, whether it is losing players like Ellie Kane potentially. I know they've just re-signed, they've signed Hannah Cunningham, who I think was at Glasgow Women and did a stint at Motherwell and is at Queen's Park now. But yeah, it's obviously up for a wider discussion, but yeah, I think it's an interesting time.
Claire, wasn't on into the area, but I'm going to speak about it anyway. Coaches, just because we've got a coach on. We've got some really good coaches in the women's game now. Joe Potter, Elena Siddiqui, Leanne Ross, very good coach in her own right. Eva Olland, Clint Lancaster. Who else have we got? Bobby Watson at Hamilton, even Jack Beasley. We've got a lot of good coaches in our women's game now.
No, yeah, we do, and I think that's the thing as well, isn't it? Like the biggest focus since like 2019 has obviously been on the players and the players that are getting signed and who's coming in and you know who's paying the most money and whatever else. But it is about picking the right type of coach as well, and I think the league's starting to do that, and I think you're starting to reap the benefits from that as well in the terms of in terms of the football that teams are playing and how they're then kind of presenting themselves on the pitch and stuff like that. So, and just, you know, I just think it just adds to the professionalism, the fact that you're getting in these coaches. And it's just, yeah, it's just making it really competitive. And as you say, you know, before you're maybe like one or two teams competing years ago, and then it's just getting added to every season with teams. Yeah, maybe they're not going to win the league, but they're maybe able to take points off of teams. And I think that's all to do with not just the players, but all the structure behind them and everything they've got. And yeah, just as Eva was saying a minute ago, obviously there's resources and stuff like that are massive between top and bottom. But I think coaches are a big thing in that. And I think it's so good to see that the Scottish League, even in its infancy, is where it is just now, is managing to attract these coaches to the league.
I remember the first time we spoke, Claire, and you were on a bit the fact that clubs don't market themselves enough.
No, I don't. I know. I think obviously that's slowly getting better. But yeah, probably not. Do you know what I mean? But I think that's the thing. That's the difficulty, isn't it? Just in general, with the women's game is trying to market in the right way and get. And I do think we're getting better at it. But I think we've still got a long, long way to go. You know, as Graham was saying about obviously down in England, the Arsenal game. You know, 60,000. We're a long way off of that. I don't think we're close to that at all in this country. So how you fix that, you know, I don't know, but I think we don't market ourselves in probably the best way, but I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah. Hartley, I'm going to end with yourself. How do you reflect on leaving Dundee United? Was it amicable or were you frustrated by how it was all dealt with?
No, I think when you leave a club, I think ultimately when you look back, we did really well. And again, even this season when I left, we were sitting in ninth place and we were the lowest budget in the league. I think you can only leave on good terms when you're sitting, when you leave the club in such a good place. There's frustrations there, but I'm sure Joe Potter's got frustrations at Rangers. I'm sure Brian Graham's got frustrations at Partick. So I'm sure every manager in the league's got frustrations at different things. So I think that's part and parcel of football. There's always stuff that as a player, as a manager, as a someone in the media, whatever it is, whatever you're involved in, I'm sure there's always frustrations that you want to improve and get better at. And there was obviously frustrations there for me as well, which again, it's part and parcel of football. But again, I think the club will be happy in the position I've left them in. I think I'm happy in the position that I left the club in. We're sitting in the highest. Well, when I left, we were sitting in ninth, which is the highest place we'd ever been in terms of regularly. Like, okay, yeah, after one game, you jump up and down. But I think the whole season, we were kind of consistently ninth or eighth this season. So again, as I said earlier on, when you're competing against full-time managers as a coach, you kind of take that away a wee bit of pride as well. And then obviously I think as a club point of view, you from when you've got such a low budget and you're competing against these teams, I think you can't be anything but sort of happy in terms of where you're sitting in the league.
Did you look back at your time with fond memories?
Yeah, absolutely. The league win in SWPL 2 my first season, and then but I think the biggest achievement was obviously staying in the league last year, and then even this year with all the kind of hurdles that we've had to overcome in terms of players leaving for more money elsewhere, players leaving for travelling reasons, and the squad that we've built, it's incredible. The players, the majority of players are doing about an hour there and an hour back travelling, and having such a young group as well. So it's been really challenging, but again, that's probably why you look back with such fond memories, because you realise the time that I gave up in terms of, like, I was doing recruitment, I was doing analysis stuff, I was doing everything, kind of trying to help the players. But having players doing all that travel, they appreciated it as well. So kind of that's the biggest reason as a coach you do it, is because you want players to get better and you want players to move on to bigger and better things. And obviously we had Danny Danny Finlay moved to Hearts last year, and that was a proud moment for me to know that I've kind of played a part in her journey, even though she's 28 or whatever she was at the time, to go full time. And I think as a coach, that's why you do it. So having players that are progressing and developing, I think it makes you happy as a coach, and you can only look back with fond memories for that.
It's what you did at Dungeon United, does it give you that bug for moving forward?
Yeah, and it's again, I'm not even necessarily looking at going in somewhere as a head coach. I'm still only 35, so my coaching journey is still young. I want to learn and develop more, and kind of spoken to a few people, and I'm trying to get around as many clubs as possible. And as I say, I was down south at the weekend there, and this week I'm going in at another club there, but we look at how they do things as well. And again, for me, it's about learning. So again, I'm quite happy to look at going in as I was assistant at United before, and I'm quite happy to go in as a coach or as an assistant and continue my coaching journey as well. And as I say, I do coaching because I want to see players develop. So whether that's as a head coach, an assistant, a first team coach, whatever it may be, to try and help the team and help the players. I think everyone's got the same motto when they're coaching. They want to do the best as they possibly can. So yeah, it kind of opens to anything.
I think it's an interesting point because there's a lot of managers that will be assistants, then be manager, then just be a manager for 10, 20 years, but you're flexible.
Yeah, because I'm not 100% sure in terms of where I've never been in a full-time environment. So from that aspect, I'm not sure if being in a full-time environment would change my outlook. Whereas at the moment, obviously, I've floated about part-time and been sort of doing everything. Whereas if I was in a full-time environment, would it be better as an assistant, better as a coach, or better as an actual manager or head coach? I don't actually know. But certainly as a part-time level, I think head coach is obviously the model would go down. But if I was making a step up to a full-time environment, again, you might have to learn your trade and work your way up, as I've done kind of from a part-time point of view. So kind of open to the idea of it. But again, we'll just wait and see what comes about.
Finally, you'll be pleased that you've had to spend more time with your son.
Yeah, it's obviously been a bit challenging, obviously, not having sort of as much time with family and whatever, so just having a bit more downtime to do things that I would have liked to have done has been great.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks very much to everybody for joining. Thanks to Graham for joining as well. Obviously, Graham, we hope you're back in the game sooner rather than later. Thanks as well to Claire, Eva, Jessica, and Charlie. I almost forgot who you were there for a minute, Charlie, but thanks very much to everybody for joining. And we'll catch you next month where we'll be previewing the Rangers v Partick Thistle Cup final and also looking back on the Scotland games coming up this week.